Good morning, Booker Joe. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning. I want to thank our generous sponsors, Marilyn and Michael Fedak, for their generous sponsorship of 10 Minutes of Meaning, our learning of Tanya. Please help yourself from Shaila Cafe to coffee, slushies, or pastries and the like. We have the privilege this week of beginning Perek Ches, the eighth chapter of the Halakha Tanya. It's been helping us learn about ourselves. Tanya is like a great spiritual MRI machine. We go through it and we're learning and discovering and we're seeing parts of ourselves, many that look wonderful and healthy, and others that need a little bit of work and improvement. But it is the mirror we hold up to ourselves, the MRI machine that reveals ourselves. The Tanya has helped us discover how to be our best selves, and we're up to Perek Ches. I just want to mention, we are in the middle of our BRS Global campaign. We're asking all those who listen, learn, watch, read, benefit, who gain value from Baruch Boker Haton Synagogue, to please help us spread Torah, help us spread Tanya, help us spread light. And you can enter a raffle to come spend Shabbos here at BRS. All expenses covered. BRSonline.org/global. BRSonline.org/global. Please match what you did last year. We know who you are. We know what you did last year. And we're watching. And so is the Alter Rebbe. Perek Ches. Ve'odzos. Odzos. B'machalas asur shalakach v'koron b'shem iser. In the last chapter, Perek Zion, we last left off. And we distinguish between the three klipos, the three husks or peels or shells, the three total eclipse of the light of the Or Ein Sof of the Ribono Shel Olam, from which there is nothing redeemable, entirely and utterly negative. There's nothing valuable or redeemable caught up in the world of what we call Isser. Isser, the Baal HaTanya was Machadish, the word Osser and Mutter, Isser and Heter, means tied up and bound or untied and release. Why does forbidden mean tied and bound? Why does permissible mean untied and released? Because that which is forbidden is tied to the world of Sitra Achra. It is tied, it is bound together with it. And that which is permissible is untied. It is released. It is free. So the three klipos are entirely categorically negative. The fourth klipa, klipas noga, has a partial eclipse. The light does shine through. There is something redeemable. That's the area of the animal soul where it all depends on intent. It all depends on intent. Technically, the eating, the sleeping, the tiul, whatever we're doing or whatever we're on, technically is permissible. But what's the concentration? What's the intent? And here, the Alter Rebbe now moves over from the intent we give to a kosher experience to the intent we give to a non-kosher experience. Does Isser care about your feelings? If I had to give a title to Perek Ches, I would give the following. You know, there's as Rabbi Kalish Shlita spoke here this past Shabbos. He said there's a holy Jew here in Florida who made popular the expression that facts don't care about your feelings. And there's a truth to that, he said. But then Rabbi Kalish quoted the Sfas Emes, this last week's Parsha, that feelings don't care about the facts. Sometimes your feelings don't care about the facts. And the Torah validates and acknowledges feelings. So where does the Alter Rebbe fall on this? Facts don't care about your feelings or feelings don't care about your facts? I don't think anyone who's ever taught Tanya put it that way before. Which one? Which one? I'm only doing that because Rabbi Kalish opened our eyes to that dichotomy, to those two perspectives. So the Alter Rebbe says, halacha doesn't care about your feelings. The facts are objective. They're not subjective. And all the greatest intention in the world, all the holiest and highest intention in the world doesn't change, can't elevate, can't transform, can't untie that which is bound to the world of Sitra Achra. Odzos b'machalas asur shalikach nikron b'shem iser. There's a reason why non-kosher food is called aser, iser. Sha'af misha'acham meichel iser below hodah l'shem shemayim. You inadvertently eat a forbidden food and you do it l'shem shemayim. So a person eats a forbidden food and they say, I'm eating this food to have the energy to shteig, to sit, to learn. I'm eating this food to have the energy to go do chesed. I'm eating this food to be the best husband, the best father, the best wife, the best mother. La'avod Hashem b'koach achila hahi. My intent, my feeling is, I want to be the best servant, the best Eved Hashem, and this food is going to nourish, this food is going to strengthen, this food is going to give me what I need, so my holy intention is going to transform even that which is this forbidden food. Not only was that the initial plan, but Taka the person executed. They fulfilled the intent. They used the food for energy and study and tefillah. So a person eats something forbidden. They eat something that's aser. It was a questionable hashgacha. And they said, you know what? It's close enough. There's some Hebrew writing on it. It sounds like a rabbi's name. It's good enough. It's got some shapes. There's a K with some shape around it. That's good enough. And then they eat it because it was good enough. Turns out it's not kosher. And as they ate it, as they prepared the Daf Yomi, the Amud Yomi, the Tanakh Yomi, the Rambam Yomi, the Mishnah Berurah Yomi. They prepared, they were going to say, oh, Sefer Tehillim. They prepared, they were going to go volunteer their time at the Shefa kitchen. Whatever the reason they were eating, they actually executed. They ate with a high level intention, and they used the food and energy for study of Torah and for Tefillah. Ein achaya sheba olo mislabeshes b'tevos haTorah v'atfilah kamo ha'ater. You can't do it. Doesn't work. Even the greatest and the highest and the holiest intentions cannot transform or untie that which is tied and bound to the Sitra Achra, to the world of Isser. Because the reason it's called Isser, the reason non-kosher food, the reason Lashon Hara, the reason dishonest business practices, the reason Malacha and Shabbos, the reason it's all called Usser, Isser, is because it is definitionally chained and tied to the Sitra Achra, to the negative forces of Sitra Achra, to the three klipos, to the total eclipse of the Yorein Sof of the Ribono Shel Olam. And the greatest and the holiest and the highest intentions in the world can't untie it. And it's good. An Avera Lishma, the Lishma is still good, better than doing an Avera Shelo Lishma, better than doing an Avera Shelo Lishem Shemayim, but it's still an Avera. And the fact that it's treif doesn't care about your feeling that you're using it for holiness. That you're using it for holiness. On this, the Alter Rebbe paskins, like the Holy Jew of Florida, our neighbor, that the halacha doesn't care about your feelings. If you're doing Isser, it's chained, it's tied, it's bound to Sitra Achra, you can have the holiest and the highest intentions. Afilu Isser Derabon, the Alter Rebbe now is a big chiddush. That's certainly true for Torah law. When Hashem said, don't do this, don't do this, it's Osir, it's Isser. It is tied to the dark side, to the other side, to the side that has nothing inherent good or no light. It's a total eclipse. But the Alter Rebbe is then mechadish that also and even applies v'afilu hu issa derabanan. He makes a bold assertion that the energy of food that's prohibited by rabbinic law, for example, ov v'chalav, we're learning now in smichas chaver, chicken casserole. If you melt cheese with chicken, that's issa derabanan. It's an issa derabanan. Technically, it's not basa b'chalav, it's issa derabanan. So a person sits down and they want to eat a delicious plate of chicken casserole. Chicken casserole, ov v'chalav, I don't know how you make chicken casserole. Okay, a milk like a chicken casserole. Echves. Chicken parmesan, thank you. That's what I was looking for. So a person sits down and they say, epis chicken parmesan. Either I'm a Talmud of Yosef Aglili, I'm not in his town, whatever. I'm going to eat some chicken parmesan. It's issa derabanan. But this chicken parmesan, do you know the kind of chavrus I'm going to have after the chicken parmesan? Do you know the kind of singing I'm going to do? I'm going to fabreng, I'm going to tish. It's going to be lebedik with the chevr, it's going to be unbelievable. Do you know the kind of tefillah I'm going to offer, the tehillim I'm going to say? The Alter Rebbe says, even if it's only asa derabanan, there's nothing redeemable in it. It's part of the world of Sitra Achra. It is bound and tied to the dark side. It's part of the world of Klipa. Shechamurim divrei sofrim yosem divrei Torah. And the Alter Rebbe here anticipates you're going to push back and say, well, what do you mean? Sitra Achra, dark side, the other side, Klipa, that's Hashem. So that should only apply to Doraisa. It should only apply to biblical law. When it comes to rabbinical law, what the rabbis said is prohibited, what the rabbis drew a fence around, that shouldn't be Klipa. That shouldn't. Now the Alter Rebbe says, no, Chamurim divrei sofrim yosem divrei Torah. It's even more Chamur. It's even greater. It's even bigger. It's even bigger. So I want to read to you the commentary of Rav Steinsatz at Zatzal. He says, Isser and Heter, bound and unbound, are not subjective concepts. They do not relate to the person, nor does the person define them by his knowledge and awareness. A person's knowledge or ignorance does not alter the basic definition of a thing as Isser or Heter. A positive intention, such as the intent for the sake of heaven, for a holy purpose, does not prevent something forbidden from being forbidden. The nature of the forbidden thing is not altered by the intent, because the prohibition is objective, relating to the composition, nature, and characteristic of the thing itself, and not to what somebody happens to think about it. This is so important and relevant to our time, where we think that we are whatever we think we are. I can choose my own identity, and I can choose the identity even of the object. I choose my identity, and I determine the identity of the object. Is it permissible or forbidden? It depends how I use it. No, it doesn't. It depends how the master of the universe, the creator, what he endowed and imbued it with. It is objective, not subjective. It is absolute, not relative. It is inherent. It is not something that I bestow. This conception of good and evil rejects the emotional and subjective view many have of these definitions, the outlook by which everything is assessed according to a person's intentions. This view does not recognize the concept of an act that is intrinsically evil, but it does recognize personal sins, acts that derive from the intention to do evil. The act itself, the reality of it being done or not, is devoid of significance. The concept of isser is defined here as not a factor of the person's conscious desire to transgress, but of the fact that he did so, even unintentionally. An evil intention, a deliberate rebellion against God, is a sin in its own right, but it does not in any way define what is the realm of the forbidden. This is not, says Rabbi Steinsaltz, this is not to diminish the significance of intent. The Alter Rebbe has at length, in chapter 7, we just studied, about how when it comes to klipas noga, it is all about the kavana. When it comes to the middle area, what you'll call reshus, permissible things, they're untied, they're unbound, they're not inherently or absolutely or objectively bound and tied to the dark side, but they're still subject to your intent. We elevate, we transform by intent. Intent matters, intent counts, intent is important. However, intent can't change that which is objectively bad. If you're eating poison, you're eating poison for the right reasons. So you, instead of eating a protein shake, you drink a poison shake. And you're treating your protein, your poison shake like a protein. Oh, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be strong. It's like a protein shake. But Lemaisa, does the poison care about your intent? Does the poison care about your feelings? If there's poison in the shake, you're going to feel it. If there's poison in the shake, it's going to compromise you. And it doesn't care about your feelings or your intention. It is objectively poison. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is telling us about the world of Isser. It is bound and tied to the other and the dark side, and therefore it has that impact and it has that consequence. So now that we've established that both Daraisa and Darabanan activities that are empowered by the three klipos, that are Isser, that are bound to the dark side, so why is an animal soul from klipas noga drawn to these impure klipas, which are more corrupt than their own energy? Again, klipas noga can go both ways, right? So you have mitzvah. A mitzvah is inherently good. And it's an act, by the way, that also, to a degree, doesn't care about your intentions. It's elevated when you have the proper intentions. When you do the mitzvah, understanding it, and it having good feelings about it, of course it's enormously elevated. But if you do the mitzvah and you didn't, you still fulfilled the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah also, to a degree, at its baseline, doesn't care about your feelings. So mitzvah is positively, categorically good. And Isser is categorically bad, doesn't care about your feelings. And the place where intent and feelings matter is the world of klipas noga, is the world of this partial eclipse where the Orient Sof can get through, and now our intent determines it. L'chein gama yetzahara, the yetzahara and koach ha-mes'av l'dvar ma'asurim, that desire we have, that does not originate from the animal soul of klipas noga, but it comes from an external source. Where does it come from? The thing that says, do that, the Yetzirah that says, look at that, say that, think that, do that. Where does it come from? Says the Alter Rebbe, Husheid Mishedan Nuchra'in. This is based on a Zohar. It comes from one of the foreign demons. Shehu Ayetzahara Shal Umas Ha'olam Shenaf Shosea Misholosh Klipos Atmeos. It has the energy of the Yetzirah of the wicked nations of the world whose souls are from the three Klipos. Uwa. Okay, let's unpack that for a minute. What does that mean? The Alter Rebbe is racist and biased. We're speaking so negatively about the Umas HaOlam. Umas HaOlam are made up of demons from the dark side. Some Nebuch. Certainly not all, maybe not, and not most. So what does he mean? He means inside us, there's the element of our soul that we share with all of humanity. And in that comes the impulse, the desire, the temptation, the lust. That comes from the three klipas hatmeos. We have a Yiddish neshama. In addition, this is the Alter Rebbe's view, it's a machlokas, we've given shiurim on it in the past. Others, the Kuzari, the Alter Rebbe, and others hold, the Jew has an inherently superior soul. We have a uniquely, distinctly Jewish soul. Others say, no, our soul is the same as all of humanity. We're obligated in mitzvos, and that changes us. But our soul is not inherently superior or different. So, we're staying with the Alter Rebbe here, who holds that a Yid, a Jew has a superior soul or an additional soul, different or higher than the Umas HaOlam. So the Umas HaOlam soul in us has this instinct, this impulse, but we have a Yiddish neshama that gives us the capacity to regulate it, to be sovereign over it. Your temptation to sin, writes Rav Chaim Miller, comes from an external negative energy, which the Zohar refers to as a demon. Only an energy from the three klipos, this foreign demon, could tempt you to a forbidden activity, which is powered by the three impure klipos. Eating that food, which is usser, looking at that image, which is usser, sharing that gossip, which is usser, cheating in business, which is usser, is not coming from inside you, the best place of you, the godly soul of you. There's this external influence. You're taken over by a demon. Your animal soul from Klipas Noga is naturally drawn only to the permitted Klipas Noga activity. So the Klipas Noga, that fourth area, only draws us to the permitted. And now the question is, do we give it the right intention or not? But the forbidden comes from this outside external influence of the shade of this demon. And it comes from the world of the three Klipos, the dark side, the Sitra Achra. And you see this. Because when we indulge in that impulse, and we feel that guilt and that shame, when we make that mistake and we do that wrong thing, Chazal essentially said this, that every time we make that mistake and we indulge that impulse, we've been taken over by a demon. And that sounds pretty harsh and pretty radical, and it's also pretty real and pretty true. And you know it because you see it. How many great people have thrown away their entire lives and reputations, they've fallen for a moment of pleasure. And the only explanation how a rational, thoughtful, intelligent, successful person could throw it all away for a moment of the pleasure of the flesh, the only explanation could be they were taken over by a demon. Nichnas bo ruach shtus. They were taken over by some external force. On the other hand, the Yetzirah and the desire to satisfy yourself with kosher pleasures comes from the Zohar calls one of the Jewish demons. We're talking about the Yiddish neshama. When we have a Yiddish neshama, klipas noga, because when it comes to klipas noga, so when we eat a permissible food, but we don't do it for the right reason, we indulge in klipas noga, that comes from the Yiddish neshama, because that can still be repaired. That can still be redeemed. That can still be fixed. Before it reverts to holiness, even this kosher act is still negative. And it's powered by the Sitra Achra and Klipa. And where the Alter Rebbe goes from here, we'll pick up next time, is how? When you make that mistake and you indulge, how do you repair? And it depends on the world of action, the world of speech, and the world of thought. Will be repaired by three things. And what he says, I'll give you a little preview for next week. What he says is, if you eat the wrong thing, so a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, they used to say. Well, the moment of the wrong thing on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, means it's absorbed into your body. The only way that the darkness of the dark side that you absorbed into your body can be purged and fixed is what's called chibud hakever, is the suffering of the body while it is disintegrating in the grave. So when the body goes through that process, it is purging and ridding itself of whatever it absorbed in the pleasures it never should have had during the lifetime. This is some pretty powerful stuff. So definitely come back next week as we continue Tanya together. If you've not yet, please, brsonline.org/global. Please help us continue to spread the light of the Or Ein Sof together.